Cuomo News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
Well, the guns were blazing down in Federal Way, a place called Johnny's Famous Grill and Bar. This was right after closing. It was right around 2 o'clock in the morning. And apparently there was some arguments that spilled out into the street. Guns were pulled. Shots were fired. You got one person dead. You got six people wounded. And this is an ongoing police investigation, obviously. It's less than 12 hours old right now. The guy who was killed has been identified as Clois Young. He has a daughter. Nobody seems to know why he would have been involved in a shooting. Nobody seems to know where the guns came from right now. I'm sure that will be investigated. That's become, as you know, my mantra. Follow the gun. I'm very interested in finding out at some point here whether or not the people involved in this shooting were legally entitled to carry those pistols, whether they had a concealed weapons permit, and so on and so forth. Right now we're going to be joined by the chief of police for Federal Way. Brian Wilson's on the line with us. Thanks for being here on Newsline PM. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, Ken.
What can you fill in some of the blanks? I realize it's still pretty early in the investigation, but what can you tell us right now?
Well, again, the investigation is ongoing, and we're certainly looking into the facts and circumstances as we talk to the numerous witnesses over time. But we do, we are learning quite a bit of information. The dispute that occurs just outside of the bar, the confrontation that takes place, the actions of the suspect to shoot the victim in this case. And we're fortunate to have that person in custody, and our people are working hard to put the pieces together.
It is such a surreal situation in respect, and we've just seen this in the region, and it seems to be becoming more commonplace, this type of eruptive violence, where some kind of an altercation slash argument, and the next thing people are pulling pistols out of their pockets and firing across a parking lot. Can you put that in some context for us?
Well, it is, we're talking about, kind of a neighborhood bar, and unfortunately the clientele that are coming in, there's a good degree of alcohol consumption that's taken there. We believe there may be some over-service. We're working with the liquor board to address that. But, an argument, or a dispute between two individuals, and as a result of that, the suspect fires and kills this, Mr. Young.
So, have you determined who fired the first shot?
Well, again, preliminarily, we think we know the sequence, but I still think it's early in terms of having a definitive. But it appears that the suspect that we have in custody is the one who fired first.
And how many people were outside the bar there, Brian, at closing? Was it, were there a dozen, two dozen, and everybody's just kind of milling about? Because there were some, what's been described anyway, as innocent bystanders who also were wounded in this.
That's correct. I mean, there was quite a group that was outside, and when the suspect exited, he had a confrontation with this individual. There was communication between the two of them. And then following that, this suspect shot the suspect. So the victim in this case, we do believe that he fired back after he was hit. And he does have the victim in this case did have a concealed weapons permit. So,
again, that answers one question. Thank you.
Yeah, it is early, and the circumstances. And I think you made reference earlier. We have another arrest about 11 o'clock today, which we've identified this person for actually trying to take items from the deceased.
That is incredible. that is incredible to me. This guy apparently, at least what I've read, reportedly. When came back to the scene after he was trying to pilfer something from the pockets of the victim there.
That's as the facts as we're trying to lay out, but we believe that's what happened. You know, we did have one citizen come to the aid of this person, and as the person was trying to render aid, this person is going through their pockets and jewelry.
Oh man!
So we were pleased to identify this person, which we would have, I believe, even if he hadn't shown up on scene. But we do have him in custody as well.
Now, you mentioned that there is you're going to have the liquor board look into the possibility that this place overserved people. Does Johnny's Famous Grill and Bar, does it have a reputation preceding the incident at 2 o'clock this morning? Have you had consistent problems there, or is this a frequent, police have to visit it on a regular basis or something?
You know, it really has been fairly low on the radar. I mean, we have not had, again, it's kind of a neighborhood bar. I know I talked to several of my staff this morning that say that they, who live in the neighborhood, and say, you know, we have meals there, you know, and frequent there. We have had some, over the last month, some arrests that have been made. And there was, you know, a belief from a couple of our officers in the area that, we might have some over-service problems and people congregating in the parking lot. And we did have several arrests that have occurred over the last, 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know, that was part of a plan, as we always do to, address a community-oriented or problem-oriented policing project to address this. You know, what can we control? What can we work with the ownership and with liquor board and certainly with our patrol staff to, have an impact to make sure that this, the problems like this are avoided. And it is very unfortunate that this set of circumstances came together last night.
Have you tried to, at least even individually with yourself, tried to put some perspective on these incidents that we've been experiencing here over the past couple of months? I mean, the Cafe Racer. I mean, there's just been, it seems that there have been an inordinate number of gunfights and murders and, weapons pulled and threatening. And it's not our imagination, is it?
No, I think there's, the culture of carrying weapons, is becoming more prevalent, and that's not saying that they're being legally carried. You know, at the same time, we're seeing tremendous changes, on the legal side in terms of case law, that further inhibits, police officers' ability to search incident to arrest, and I really believe that has an impact. It is having an impact. And, the state of the law for vehicle searches, for example, is pretty much you have to get a search warrant for everything. And sometimes, we're just not able to develop the probable cause to even obtain the search warrant, given the circumstance that we're faced with.
Well, Brian Wilson, Federal Way Police Chief, I thank you very much for taking time, giving us the update. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Take care. Man, another, you have to sit and wonder what the hell is going on here in the area, because I think that this is escalating rather than subsiding. Hang with us. Newsline PM continues.
Time to discuss, dissect, and debate the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Well, we're trying to determine if this is going to be the day that will allow Mount Rainier National Park climbing rangers to recover the body of Nick Hall. Nick Hall, as you remember, died as he was attempting to rescue four people who had ascended Mount Rainier and were on their way down. Two of the women that were in that party had fallen down this crevasse, and Nick Hall was one of the people up there trying to assist, and he fell to his death. He fell like 2,500 feet from this glacier. But none of the rangers at Mount Rainier have been able to get up there to retrieve his body. I know his family has flown in from Maine, and they're here in the area waiting for the body to be recovered. I guess the Weather Service is saying, okay, it's going to be sunny. The winds aren't going to be bad. Temperatures are still going to be in that, you know, low 30-degree range at that elevation. And there is the problem of falling rock and ice and, you know, avalanches. So, but the problem is if the window of opportunity doesn't open up here this afternoon, apparently there's a forecast for some snow beginning there tomorrow around 11 o'clock in the morning. So I know when we spoke earlier in the week with officials from Mount Rainier, they have taken steps so that if there is something untoward, like an avalanche, Nick Hall's body is not going to be lost. They have a GPS system that they're using to locate his precise location. And I think that they have put him on some kind of a stretcher or something, which will help, you know, keep his body in the location that they left it at. So I he's like at the 11,000 foot level. And the, you know, obviously the big consideration here is that you don't want to put other people's lives in danger, however committed they may be to bringing Nick Hall off that mountain. So I think it all depends on the weather. And like I say, we are trying to find out precisely if there's going to be this window of opportunity. It'll probably be within the next few hours here. And once we determine that, we will obviously pass that along to you. But we're wishing these people well and, you know, to kind of bring some degree of closure and finish this up, to have those people get up there on the mountain and bring Nick back down and, you know, give him to his family. By the way, up on my Facebook page, it's still up there. There has been a fund that has been set up in Nick's name that will go to help funding rescue operations. It will help fund, you know, these climbing expedition ranger rescue teams for training and things of that nature, both here and back in Nick's home state of Maine. So if you want to donate to that, just go to Facebook.com/KenSchramm. And it is still on my Facebook there. I put the information up there for those of you who might be interested in doing that. The other thing real briefly that I wanted to talk about, because this continues to just put my stomach in a knot. Former Lakewood police officer, Skeeter Timothy Manos, is going to be sentenced probably later this week. And it's probably going to be in the range of two years or so, maybe, you know, 2 years and 9 months, which I, to be honest with you, I think that is just wholly inadequate. Now, the name may be familiar to you, the Skeeter Manos. This is the guy who has admitted stealing over $100,000 that were meant for the families of those four Lakewood police officers that were gunned down in November of 2009. And you know, what happened was Lakewood Police had set up this fund to collect money that would be of some assistance to the officers' spouses and their children. And as people here in the region contributed just, I think it was more than $3 million. And this Manos was one of the people who helped manage the fund. And he just wound up helping himself to it. And it's not like he was in even financial straits, because he used the money to, you know, for hotels. He liked to travel. He bought show tickets. He bought appliances, for crying out loud. So eventually he'll be ordered to, you know, for restitution here, which, you know, who knows if and when that'll happen. But he should be sentenced. I think he's going to be sentenced on Friday. And I think that is a really good thing. Put that because, you know, you got to feel for the Lakewood police officers who are having to contend with his thievery, his heartless helping to himself of this money. In a moment, we're going to talk with Molly Moon's Ice Cream. Why? Well, there's a good reason, and I'll explain here in a moment.
This is Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
All right, somebody's got to help me out here. I mean, because Here's what goes on during the breaks. So I'm sitting here, and I'm, you know, getting prepped for the next segment and everything, and all of a sudden our crack board engineer, the deputy, who has a new nickname that I can't use, by the way, because then I get fined by the FCC, interposes and says, "Hey, do you know what today is?" And I said, I don't know. What's today? So, AJ, Mr. Deputy, tell everybody what today is.
Today's the date Marty McFly goes into the future.
Say that again, just in case they thought, no, that's not really what he said.
Today's the day Marty McFly from Back to the Future goes into the future.
So this, and I'm going, what the hell are you talking about? So, and the deputy is going, well, we're supposed to have hoverboards. We're supposed to have traffic that flies around in the air now.
Hover cars.
Hover cars. And I'm thinking, you know, I think if I were to go to the dictionary and look up dork, there'd be a picture of AJ.
Well, we would have the Cubs would be the World Series champions right now.
Stop. Stop it. Stop it. Today's a big day, man. Today's the day that in Back to the Future, McFly goes into the future. Here's what I have to say to you, AJ. McFly! He's all excited because he's going to Comic-Con next week. Does that tell you more about what I have to contend with here? Hang with us. Newsline PM continues.
Como News Radio. Everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
Well, it's got to be tomorrow. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen tomorrow. The United States Supreme Court will hand down its decision on health care here in the United States. The whole program that was put together, kind of the kingpin of the Obama administration so far. And I think the decision tomorrow is going to really help define the future of the American healthcare system. We'll find out if all of it or some of it or, you know, just parts of it are going to be scuttled or whether it will stay intact. We'll have to wait and see. The reason I bring that up is that earlier this year, by the way, Molly Moon, you know Molly Moons, everybody knows Molly Moons. Molly Moon was Molly Moon Netzel, was invited back to Washington, D.C., participated in kind of a sit down and discuss the economy opportunities, you know, that are available, the business community, how does everybody work better together, resources that can help local economies grow. And now we have the White House has sent out this I don't know what you would call it. It's almost like it's a map which highlights some of the personal stories of people who are benefiting from health care reform. See, there's the tie-in. And guess who's listed on there? Yep, little old Molly Moons. And there's this little story says, you know, Molly Moon opened her ice cream boutique 2008. Business has expanded. Molly committed to covering 100% of her employees' health care premiums. So that's pretty cool. Joining us right now, we have Molly Moon Neitzel, who's the owner of Molly Moon's Ice Cream. How are you, Molly?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I want to know, here's my first question to you. Put together a pizza ice cream.
Oh, wow.
Pizza flavored ice cream.
You know, we tried a tomato basil sorbet last year.
Did it work?
We didn't have a lot of takers.
Man. Two of my favorite things are ice cream and pizza. If we could figure out a way to, like, smush them together, it would be cool.
What do you think about pizza a la mode?
I could go for pizza a la mode. I don't like pineapple on my pizza, though. I'm only cheese and pepperoni.
Okay.
All right. But I digress. I digress here. How was the experience when you were back in D.C. in February? I got to ask you that.
That was a really awesome meeting. The experience was great, and I was really impressed with all of the people working for the administration around job creation and connecting, especially small business owners, to some federal resources for creating jobs that I didn't even know existed. So it was a great trip.
Did it incorporate anything surrounding healthcare coverage and things of that nature, or was this solely economically based, how to grow and how to provide more jobs and things of that nature?
Well, it definitely incorporated some of the things that the administration is doing to help small businesses be able to create jobs that happened in the healthcare reform. The biggest thing that's affected me and that they were wanting to make sure other small business owners knew about was the small business healthcare tax credit for those of us who do pay for much of the premium for our healthcare's our workers' health insurance.
So let me ask you, because as a small business owner, one of the things that you hear with great frequency is that this is just overly burdensome, you know, requiring or asking small business owners to provide health care for their employees is going to destroy small business, according to the critics of such a plan.
Well, so then there's no requirement for us.
Right. I know that. I'm saying so, but from your perspective, you're not required to do it. You do it. Do you think that the critics are, you know, embellishing for whatever reason they may be doing it? But do you think small businesses, let me ask you, are small businesses capable of doing what you're doing?
Yes.
So
I don't think any of the healthcare reform has created any new burden on small businesses. And in fact, it's eliminated and really helped with the burden that some of us take on by paying for healthcare for our employees.
How
so? The tax credit, well, the tax credit is huge for small businesses. It's in 2010, my tax credit was over $11,000. And for my 2011 taxes, I was eligible for a $16,000 tax credit. So those are big numbers. And for me, when I'm creating part-time jobs for young people who are often in college, that can mean a whole job.
So you also provide health care for part-time employees.
Yes, I pay 100%.
That's very unusual.
It is. I pay 100% of the premiums for everyone who works just 18 hours a week in the winter and 25 hours a week in the summer.
And is it prohibitively expensive, do you think? And I mean, do the tax credit cover what your costs are for the healthcare insurance?
Oh, absolutely not. Healthcare is expensive, and I buy a really high quality plan with a low deductible because the kids I employ can't afford to spend much on healthcare at all. But it's a great plan where their preventative visits are free, and you know, that's another thing I'm really thankful for about the Health Reform Act. But it is not prohibitively expensive. It is an expense that you need to just commit to and make it work as a small business owner. And I think it's the right thing to do for the health of, you know, our entire community.
So in some ways, at least for our area, you've become the poster child of what the Obama administration has put on the table and said, look, here's what we could accomplish if we put this in play. Do you have any criticisms? Do you have any concerns about where this is going? And what do you anticipate? What do you hope the U.S. Supreme Court does tomorrow?
I don't have any real criticisms of the original act. I mean, I would have loved to see universal health care for everyone in America sponsored by our government, but that is not something that's probably realistic. I'm hoping that they leave the law alone tomorrow.
Oh.
I think that the more people who are covered, the better this will work in general. And I think that, you know, if everyone is required to get insurance, then the rest of the bill works better.
And I would imagine that with the benefits you provide, you have no shortage of applicants when you open up one of your new stores or something.
I don't really have a shortage. For every time we advertise for ice cream scoopers or ice cream makers, we have maybe 60 resumes. Yeah.
Are people surprised that you offered the health care that you do? I think, because I can't think of another small business, you know, that is doing what you're doing. I'm sure there are others, but I can't think of one.
Yeah, people are shocked, and I'm probably one of the only businesses in the food service industry that operates like this. And we were actually just named as one of the top 100 companies to work for in Washington State. And we went to the gala dinner honoring all of the awardees, and we were the only food service company in the room. So, you know, a lot of times companies that are in the food service business, they just don't give great benefits. And so I do want to be different that way.
Do your employees get free ice cream?
Yes, all the ice cream they can eat.
Oh, man.
You want to come work for us?
I think I might be able to do that.
Free health care and free ice cream?
And that's you know, deal. Hey, health ice cream is health care. Are you kidding?
Absolutely. It's totally good for you.
Molly Moon Neitzel, thank you very, very much. I really enjoyed talking with you, and props to you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
You take care.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
What a delightful woman. I really love her approach to business, and I like the fact that the recognition has come for her going out on a limb with healthcare.
Seattle's waking up to the Como Morning News 5 to 9. Right now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Robert Harris, forever 17, died last September in Lake Taps. He was there with his mom and his friends. Last Thursday, I think it was, we have Quentin Bogan. I hope that's how you pronounce his name, or Bogan. Quentin Bogan. He was at the lake last Thursday with his brothers. It was the start of summer. You know, his sister graduated from the eighth grade. They were out there celebrating in the lake. He disappeared, sunk beneath the surface, and his older brother and some friends tried to get there, tried to save him. And now these kids who acted heroically in an attempt to save this young man's life feel as if they somehow failed because they were unable to do so. And some of those people who helped try to save Quentin's life went to the Bonnie Lake City Council meeting the other night and said, you know, if lifeguards had been out there, this probably could have been prevented. And there's a sign right there at Lake Taps at the swimming spots saying, hey, swim at your own risk. Neil Johnson is the mayor of Bonnie Lake, joins me here this afternoon. Thanks for being here, Neil. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Ken.
Now, I would imagine that you'd like to put a lifeguard at Lake Taps. What are the inhibiting factors? Does it all come down to money or?
No, it's just that, you know, we've never had a lifeguard. And, the lake, and of course there needs to be a distinguishing factor here with the lake, is that Robert Harris was at the north end of the lake, and that's outside the city limits.
Yeah.
It's still tragic either way, but it's just, you know, and I do not believe Pierce County has lifeguards as well. So, it's a matter of just, you know, if it's needed, and when citizens come speak to the council and say, hey, we really want to look at getting a lifeguard because we think it would help prevent drownings, then, you know, we definitely want to listen to that and say, okay, well, let's take a look, because we've never had that issue in the past. And, you know, usually that lake is good for 3 months out of the year to swim in. And of course, it being a reservoir doesn't make it any better. It's colder than average. So
one of the things that I've always found somewhat, I don't know if you want to call it ironic or whatever, but there is, whenever you have a public pool, there is always a lifeguard there. Whether it's a city pool, whether it is a county pool, there is always a lifeguard at that pool. And yet you look at the number of lakes that we have in this region, and I realize that, you know, boy, it's been tough times. Cities, counties, the state, there's not like a whole lot of extra money floating around out there to put this together. But does that strike you as odd as well, that you have the lifeguard at the pool but nobody at the open water lakes?
Yeah, you know, matter of fact, I've asked staff last evening to look, you know, give me a complete risk assessment as far as lifeguard for our portion of the lake and, you know, what that really means. Because I think what happens is the risk management folks that cover these cities or pools or what have you, a pool you can shut down and lock up and no one can use it if the lifeguard is gone. So, but with a lake, it's wide open.
All the time.
So if you, it's presumed, I mean, based on what I've heard from risk managers the last few days, is that if you have a lifeguard on there part-time, and then lifeguard is now gone and off of work, but someone drowns in the lake, you're more at risk now than you ever were.
Why would that be the case?
You got me. I think a lot of times it's presumed that if you have a lifeguard, that you are going to be, that there's more responsibility now for the city to make sure that if something does happen, it's going to fall back on the city rather than at your own risk. It's like the skateboard parks. That's why you don't monitor those or other things. You know, I've never really understood insurance and the risk management side of it because it doesn't make sense at times.
That makes no sense. So this is, you're saying that there's the distinct possibility that there may be an insurance liability factor that has to be taken into consideration before a lifeguard's placed out there.
Correct. I mean, at least that's got to be considered. I mean, at least, and that's why I've asked for a risk assessment to find out, you know, what that really means so I get information to our council. You know, the dollars and cents, you know, it's just a matter of priorities. It's just a matter of if the council and we get together and we say, okay, we need to get a lifeguard out there. If that, you know, if that's a priority, then, you know, we don't fill a position. We find a way to, you know, to get the money. That's, yeah, cities have been really hit hard and so have counties. But if that's a priority, then that gets done. And we just never had it become a priority because, you know, we haven't had that issue.
Yeah.
So now we have to look at all the facts and say, okay, well, you know, what makes sense? And I've got some great emails from citizens having some good ideas. You know, maybe we can have some volunteer lifeguards. You know, what does that mean? You know, if nothing else, we need to get some signage out there about the lake being so cold and when's the right time to be in that lake. You know, officially it's open. You know, you can go in that lake almost any time you want. I mean, it's owned by Cascade Water Lines.
Yeah. So, nothing's ever simple. Nothing is ever simple. Neil Johnson, Bonnie Lake Mayor, thank you very much. I appreciate your talking to me about this.
My pleasure.
And
Ken,
good luck. You. And props to you, man.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Okay.
Hang with us. Newsline PM continues.
Reporting the news, understanding the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
So I am absolutely stupefied as to why Charlie Sheen is getting yet another TV show, although this one's on cable, so I guess it's a cable show. And I've been reading about this. He has been on everywhere. I mean, he's been on the Today Show. He's been on Good Morning America. He's been on, you know, all sorts of different radio shows. He's been interviewed in different newspapers. I mean, he is out there going full publicity tilt with this new program of hers, of his, rather, excuse me. I mean, this was a guy a year ago. We gave away free tickets to his what was the tour called? The winning the torpedo tour of insanity is what something. It's something. It was something stupid like that, right? And he just it flopped everywhere. It flopped everywhere, and he appeared up at the Everett Event Center, and I went out and I was going to buy the tickets myself. I shamed Como into actually fronting the money for the tickets because I was going to buy them and I wanted to give them away and then I was going to get a review from whoever went. And the review sucked. It was just terrible. Anyway, now he's back on a program called Anger Management. And of all things, he's playing a psychologist. I don't think this one's going in my DVR. I don't know about you. And here's my prediction. It's gone before the end of summer. They're going to have 14 people watching it. In a moment, we're going to talk about these college football playoff games that were announced yesterday and what that's supposed to mean. So hang with us here, Newsline PM.